Hi, I'm Tim Peter, and welcome to Search Chat, Solo Segment's podcast dedicated to all things search, AI, and content marketing related. Who is Solo Segment? Well, we're a technology company focused on site search analytics and AI-driven content discovery to improve search results, increase customer satisfaction, and unlock revenue for your company. Solo Segment, make your search smarter. You can learn more at solosegment.com. In this episode of Search Chat, Solo Segment CEO Steve Zaker and I discuss our experiences at MarTech East in Boston just a couple of weeks ago. We talk about the lessons we learned talking to MarTech vendors, especially around customer privacy and how you can execute a MarTech initiative successfully. All that and more on the latest Solo Segment Search Chat, coming at you right about now.
I'm doing really well, Tim. How are you doing this evening?
I am doing delightfully. Happy Monday.
Monday. Over. In the box. Done.
Okay, fine, man. Happy Monday evening.
Have there you go. Way. Right. Right.
Well, so we got to spend some time together last week.
Quality month, time in Beantown. Yeah.
In Beantown, exactly. So apart from the Red Sox game, the extra innings Red Sox game.
Definitely a highlight.
We were at MarTech East up in Boston. But apart from the Red Sox game on Tuesday night, you know, what'd you learn? We were there. We got to see all the cool stuff. What'd you do? What'd you think?
Yeah. So, you know, it's great. So this is, you know, conference / trade show season. Say that five times quick. So, this was the second one I've attended so far, or no, number three. This is number three. And, you know, one of the things, so this is totally unrelated to the subject matter of the event, but one of the things that I learned was anytime you attend one of these trade shows or conferences and you have the opportunity to do like a speed networking thing or like these birds of a feather lunches are really like a thing these days, definitely attend those because especially if those birds of a feather things are well done, they're around topics. I did an AI roundtable, which was really very good. Definitely do those because you meet fascinating people who are interested in the topic that you're interested in. So anyway, highly recommend all of that. All that aside, I think, you know, what we're seeing in MarTech is, you know, kind of the next turn of the crank with regards to, you know, kind of people focusing now less on the shiny objects and kind of more now on you know, kind of back to the fundamental issues, you know, what's top of mind and then how is the technology, you know, helping me enable it? So maybe finally, again, asking the questions in the right order. And there were kind of three things that struck me. I mean, I talked to a lot of people about personalization. There were a couple sessions on it, but, you know, personalization seemed to be real top of mind. Privacy, followed closely by security. You know, if there were like kind of three things that were talked about, I think, you know, from a topical perspective, personalization, privacy, and security were kind of the three.
Yeah, for sure. You know, first I want to dive down into those, but first I want to say amen to your point about the birds of the feather thing. That's always been my experience with any kind of trade show, you know, etiquette's the wrong word, how you get the most out of a trade show, right, is it's always about the people who are there. Forget the agenda, forget the booths, forget the exhibitors. Not that they're not important.
Yes.
But also, but it's about the people you will talk to and the people you'll meet and the connections you make. Exactly. So I think that's a really great point. But, you know, personalization, privacy, security, obviously very, very cool topics, very top of mind topics. You know, within those, if you had to pick, you know, one or two things about personalization, one or two things about privacy that really stuck with you, you know, what would they be? What did you walk away from with?
Two issues around personalization would be, you know, first and foremost, the content. So, you know, it is clear that one of the great challenges, and by the way, I've heard this from prospects and clients as well, is as they think about how to deploy and best utilize personalization, is, you know, the challenge of making sure that you're able to have appropriate content for all those, you know, personas slash, you know, every, basically every, you know, square in the matrix that you've developed. And, again, I was talking to one gentleman from a large tech company, and he made it very clear that they really just focus in personalization. They were focused mostly on campaigns. So if they were doing a campaign, they were trying to get as kind of personalized to the right person and the right roles and the right industries as possible. And outside of that, nothing. Mm-hmm. So, and content was the lift, right? Was the lift that they were unable to do. So that I think was, really top of mind there. And the other thing was, and not a lot of this, but some of it was, and this is closely related to the second topic, privacy, was some hand-wringing about personal information. And there were some fascinating comments. My favorite quote, I think, of the entire conference was, I was talking to a person from another tech company. And this person, you know, I had asked the, so how does that tie to any concerns you might have about privacy and personal information, et cetera? And the quote was something like, well, wait, we're an American company, so we're not really all that concerned with what we do with personal information. And I was just like,
Whoa. Yeah, that was truly an extraordinary statement. I mean,
so yeah, it's crack, right? These are addicts. Right, these people are addicted to personal information, and so you know,
right.
I get that it's not, you know, we're not in the EU, but you know, let's talk about Facebook or, you know, pick it, Facebook, Google,
well,
Twitter,
and CCPA and Nevada, and sure, you know, I mean,
so that was the, I don't know, the most clueless comment of the event. But, but you know, privacy, there were a lot of good sessions on privacy, you know, clearly talking about the fact that, especially, again, more hand-wringing now about U.S. regulation, whether that's CCPA or the Nevada regs or some of the other states that are moving forward. Mm-hmm. Also, ITP, so the whole, you know, are the is the industry, right, going to put the clamps on data and that sort of stuff? Sure. So a lot of hand-wringing on that. So I think privacy continues to be top of mind. And, you know, I've seen some industry forum discussions that kind of mirror the take in the, you know, kind of the mood in the room, if you will, at MarTech. And there are a lot of people who are still, I think, in denial phase, right? They're still trying to figure out, well, how can I get around this ITP thing? And how can I, you know, it's like, that's not the point, right? The point is not to get around it. The point is to recognize that the humans who are visiting your website are concerned about this, and you need to address that head on, right? Not the, how do I game the system with some other technique that allows me to do exactly what I'm doing today, tomorrow.
Well, it's funny, you know, I mean, I started out doing a lot of work in search in my career, and you know, it's weird how these cycles repeat themselves. When Google started making, you know, lots of changes to the algorithm to avoid spammers, to avoid people who were gaming the system, you had the world, you know, bifurcated into white hat folks and black hat folks who, you know, and the black hats were like, we don't care what Google's going to do. We're going to still game the system instead of saying, hey, what's the right thing to do for our customers? And it is fascinating that, you know, you're seeing the same thing here with privacy, you know, but where you're seeing people say, you know, how do we game the system again? And clearly that's not the right approach. I shouldn't say clearly that's not the right approach. Let me rephrase that. Clearly that's not the right approach for us. We don't seem to think that that's the right way to go.
Yeah, but I think it is a universal statement. I'm actually going to agree with your prior statement. Good. I think it is universal because if this were some company exerting monopoly power to screw everybody, I get how. Yeah. You,
oh, sorry. Sorry. I had a little something in my throat there.
A little tickle. I mean, it clearly would be something that, hey, yeah, if you can get around that, you know, kind of exertion of power, but this is the market, right? This is the humans, the people saying, we don't like this. And it's the industry responding to it. And now people are like, well, how do we get around that?
No.
So I think it really is an absolute truth.
Well, it's the industry, or in the case of CCPA or, you know, GDPR or what have you, you know, it's actual governments.
Yeah, governments elected by the people.
Some of those have teeth. I lean more towards it is a universal truth. But I, you know, I also acknowledge there are companies who've been successful by telling, you know, the market to go screw themselves, oddly enough.
Yes.
And
yes.
Managed it.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's a winning proposition in the long run. I think you would agree with that. So, okay. So that was some interesting stuff. What were some of the other cool takeaways you got from the show? What else did you see that you thought was neat?
So Scott Brinker never fails to please. You know, this guy is a real, thought leader sounds like pablum, but you know, he does. I mean, the role that he's had over the past decade or so, he spends a lot of time thinking about the industry, talking to people in the industry, both on the customer side and the vendor side. So I think he sits in a chair now where has earned a seat at the chair, that really gives him a unique point of view to kind of look at the overall landscape. And he had this one graphic, we could probably share it in the show notes, just take it out of his presentation, but it really talked about the maturity curve of marketing technology.
There's
these three stages, assisted, embedded, and absorbed, right? So those are kind of three phases. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the way I like to think about it is Zoom is kind of my example of this, but it's basically these SaaS products made for the enterprise that could be bought by individuals. This is kind of, in my mind, how this started, right? Because if I look how like a lot of large enterprises adopted, you know, video technology, especially things like Zoom, it's like, you know, five people put it on their corporate credit card. So they had five licenses, right?
That's right.
And so,
well, Slack,
Slack, another one. All these companies that did that kind of model. Yeah. And so they became, you know, there was technology scattered all over the place. And that's kind of his assisted model, right? Every business was trying to figure out how to assist, I guess, in that was words, their business. And so you had, you know, 1,000 ships sailing. Unfortunately, you know, 500 of those ships were duplicates. And so, then they figured out, oh, wait a minute, you know, Zoom and Slack and all these guys, they offer enterprise licenses. So we created it's kind of the standard evolution. Everything decentralized becomes centralized, right? So, the embedded one.
The pendulum swinging back and forth.
The pendulum swung. Marketing ops became a thing, and marketing ops ran all these centralized, best in class or integrated suite technologies. And you know, so voila! Yep. Now we've got this big centralized thing that's kind of enforcing standards. And I think he recognizes that's kind of where we are today. And then the next, you know, kind of turn of the crank is this notion of absorbed, where I think the goal is the best of both worlds, where you have some flexibility that you're standardizing some platforms that make sense for the enterprise, but that you have some flexibility, say, within the functions to kind of call their own plays. And that's where he says that's going. And it's kind of, you can follow how the vendors responded. So it was all these best of breed, 1,000 different solutions.
Yeah.
And, you know, Adobe, Microsoft, and Oracle bought everybody, right? So now you have these integrated suites. And now he thinks, you know, that what we're going to have is this world where those integrated suites still exist, but that if you're a best of breed, you've really got to do a good job at integrating or interfacing or living within the ecosystem.
Right, becoming the platform that people can plug into.
Yeah, exactly. And so Salesforce and HubSpot and a couple of others are great examples of those platforms. But I think there's equally room for companies like Oracle or Adobe or Microsoft to become those as well. Mm-hmm. I think they're a little too much in love with their walled gardens to probably get there. but it's possible, right? It's possible. And he thinks, you know, he posits that that's kind of the next generation. Now, being an executive at one of those large platform plays, you know, okay, he's an executive at HubSpot, so he kind of has a vested interest in that worldview. But just based upon what we hear, like, we have customers who are Adobe customers, right? So it's not as if, you know, Adobe won and there's no room in the world for, you know,
right, of course.
So both from a pure self-interest perspective, I like that market view, but also from the perspective of, it kind of fits what we see in the marketplace. I think he's right. You know, you got to get the benefits of centralized control, the efficiencies where you can, but at the same time, you can't, you know, kind of grind, you know, creativity and productivity and efficiency versus effectiveness, right? You can't grind out the effectiveness in the market as well. So I thought it was a pretty cool thing to talk about.
Well, I thought it made a lot of sense too, you know, from my perspective of it, it adds onto this idea of the consumerization of IT, right? I mean, we've seen that over the last bunch of years where, you know, it used to be you needed technology, you needed, you know, technologists to be the ones who ran it. And that's clearly not the case. It's funny. It reminds me of a thing I literally just thought about this now, even though we'd had some discussions about the, you know, the content of the show before we started talking, and it just hit me now. I participated in a debate, you know, a point counterpoint written thing, gosh, 15 years ago, about is digital a core marketing skill?
Oh, wow.
Right? You know, is, right? And of course, somebody took the point side, which was, don't be ridiculous. Marketing is marketing, and digital is a different thing entirely. It has nothing to do with marketing.
How'd that work out for them?
Huh? right, exactly. You know, and I obviously took the counterpoint of, you know, don't be an idiot, right?
Well, I mean, that's like, how did MarTech rebrand themselves? They changed their branding to MarTech is marketing. Right. And, you know, I think you're spot on. I think, and it's funny, I still use occasionally the digital marketing hashtag. And it all, the reason I use it is because it has like 1.5 million followers or something like that. So I use it. But it does seem redundant, right? It's like, you know.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, it's digital marketing covers a multitude of sins. Right? Because what digital is evolves over time. And I think when we talk about MarTech, I think when we talk about personalization, I think when we talk about those sorts of things, you know, if you're talking about digital today and you're not talking about personalization, you're not really talking about digital and what it's capable of. So I think I think it's just the evolution from that perspective.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense.
So you brought up one other thing prior to us discussing right now, which was there was a lot of discussion of Agile, and you thought that was really cool.
I did.
Tell me why, Steve. Why? Talk to me about that.
So coming from an IT software engineering background, I really dig that way of working. And the reason I do is I mean, and especially coming from a former CIO role, I know the pain of waterfall anything. You know, and the real, I mean, I guess there's two real problems with waterfall thinking. That is to say that we know the right design, we're going to build the thing to meet that right, you know, design or requirement, and then it's going to appear fully formed is, A, you're always wrong about the requirement of the design. Like, that's just, now, are you 80% wrong or only 20% wrong?
Of course.
But you're always wrong, okay?
That is correct.
Right? And in the waterfall view of the world, and let's forget about software development, let's just talk about, like, how corporations work. Right? This is this is the planning season, right? So we're all putting together our budgets for next year, and, you know, so we know in, you know, September, October of 2019, what the truth is going to be in the market in October of 2020. It's like, well, we're definitely, so not only are we 80% or 20%, depending on your point of view, we are wrong now about, we are going to be even more wrong, right? So the reason, the thing that I like about Agile is it forces you to think kind of differently about planning horizons. You're bringing in those planning horizons, whether that's building a piece of software or thinking about a marketing campaign or whatever. Now, it may also align much better with how enterprises, like especially public ones, you know, think about performance, right? Everything's quarterly, right? So maybe it also better aligns that stuff. Unfortunately, a lot of the processes, as all of our customers will tell us and all of the people who aren't our customers will tell us, oh, yeah, I got my full year plan done by the end of this month because I have to submit it to finance so that they can think about it for 90 days, right? So, so again.
Well, and play the Hunger Games among all the different departments.
Right. Reminds me, I don't know why it reminds me of, you know, organizational silos. And somebody mentioned that Agile breaks down organizational silos. And one of the whispers that somebody, another executive made to me when we were in this workshop was, if they get rid of my silo, what am I going to do with my missile? because that's the way the organization worked, right? You know?
Right.
If I can't get what I want, I got to lob something over on the next guy. So,
of course.
So now we're talking about why I sometimes roll my eyes about Agile. So Agile is great. It kind of aligns planning horizons around reality, around market reality, allows people to get more involved in, you know, what's the outcomes that we're getting and adjusting those outcomes rapidly. I think far too much of Agile is focused on methods and process. Oh, do you do a 15-minute stand-up or a 30-minute stand-up? How long is your retrospective? I think a lot of that's BS. It almost doesn't matter, but you should have some discipline.
Wait, so efficiency, not effectiveness?
Oh, there we go. Yeah, that's a good one. A little effectiveness would be nice. But I think what the real issue is, the thing we were just talking about, is does the organization, and that is to say like kind of the enterprise culture, the enterprise process, does all of that stuff support an agile execution?
Yeah,
and the most fundamental thing is, will your executive, and I'm not talking about your directors, but it's the senior vice presidents, executive vice presidents, are they going to be compensated? Are their careers going to advance in ways based upon agile execution?
Because if
I still have to, as some mid-level executive, still have to demonstrate that I'm hitting my quarterly and full year objectives, well, how does that align with 2-week sprints and minimum viable products and adjusting the goal as both you discover stuff in the process of deploying these MVPs and the market changes? Because you're still going to be asked, wait a minute, you did really good with product A, but you said product B was going to achieve 200% growth and it didn't grow at all. It's like, well, that's because we were agile and we recognized
the market. And we learned that the market didn't want that.
But you're still going to get dinged because the enterprise. So that's a little bit of what I struggle with, especially as large enterprises talk about being agile across functions. Have you aligned everything that makes the organization run, HR, finance, compensation, promotions, bonuses, all that stuff, to reward agile execution, to reward changing of goals? Like, or are you still wedded to, oh, we're going to set full year objectives? And I think a lot of our clients would say, oh yeah, I have a full year objective.
Right. And it doesn't align with being
not
agile.
At all. Or Bobby just got promoted and it wasn't because he had the best agile, right? Bobby got promoted because he hit his full year objective. Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah.
Now I know what to pay attention to. It's always that, you know, don't look at what I say, look at what I do. And I think that's the harsh
right,
now.
Right. No, it makes total sense. Well, it's an interesting point because, you know, it speaks to execution. It speaks to how you embed these things within your organization. It speaks to how you think about the customer and are you doing what's right by the customer, which takes us all the way back full circle to personalization and all that kind of stuff and making sure we're thinking about privacy and all that. So I mean, it's a nice way to wrap up the package. But as we think about it, I mean, we're coming up on our time together. You know, is there anything, you know, you would say when we talk about personalization, when we talk about how you execute, when we talk about privacy, that, you know, you would say to kind of wrap this up in a bow?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think a lot of what needs to happen in the marketing community is to pay attention to the market. And in this case, it's, you know, privacy is not something to get around, right? Imagine if every time I got a security audit from a client, right, I said, how can we get around this, right? I mean, it's like, no, it's because the market, the people, the humans are saying, this is important to us. And I want to respond to that because I want to honor that trust and do all that other good stuff. So yeah, privacy is not a thing to get around. I think we're fundamentally going to have to change our practices. I think we're going to lose some function. I think we're going to lose some data that we've really gotten hooked on. And
I think we as marketers
have gotten really hooked on some data that, you know what, not a lot of good has come of it, right? I think that, and there's just so much risk. There's just so much bad, I don't know, mojo is probably the best word out there in the market about it. And
Well, and I think the better a job, if I can add to your thought here, I think the better a job we do of taking care of our customers, the more we show ourselves to be trusted stewards of their data, the more likely they are to actually give us that data. And I shouldn't even say I think that's true. I have seen that again and again and again in my career. I mean, that shouldn't come as a shock to anybody. But instead, we think about how do we get away with stuff. Go figure that people are like, why would I want to hand my data to these people?
Yeah, and if your answer sounds weaselly to a question, it probably is weaselly, and people are going to pick that up. And it doesn't matter whether you're Facebook responding to some sort of data breach or you're, you know, some large tech company who's saying silly things. So,
I'm sure I've said it on the show before, but I've always said, you know, if the best response you have is, well, it was legal.
Yeah.
You know, that might not be the limb you want to crawl out on. Yeah. You
know? And, you know, kind of the final point I come back to is the one I started with. You know, I think there have been times in my career where I was so focused on execution that I didn't go to a lot of these trade shows. And, you know, again, they're good for us because we get to talk to people and sell some business. So we like that.
Of course.
But more importantly, it's the opportunity to listen and engage and talk to other industry practitioners to find out what's top of mind and to, you know, just to get a real reality sense or a real sense of reality and what's that ground truth about the things you're interested in. And, you know, even though there are a bunch of vendors there trying to hawk stuff, there are also a bunch of vendors who are just there to have good conversations about their technology. That was the other thing I thought was pretty cool. There were a lot of the vendor discussions I got into. It didn't feel overly sales-ish. There were a lot of good discussions. If you came to the table with an interesting point of view, there were people who were willing to engage to, you know, just knock around and sound out, you know, your point of view on where you think the industry's going, where you think data privacy is going, all that other stuff. So really good. So I couldn't, you know, a shameless commercial, not just for more tech, but also for, you know, get out there and talk to people, because I think it's really important for helping us as individuals grow and you just have a more refined point of view about the things we believe in. And quite frankly, it might turn out that some of the things you believe in have changed. I'll leave it at that.
That's perfect. Steve, as always, a pleasure chatting with you. I'll look forward to catching up with you next time.
You bet. Take care, Tim.
All right. Take care now. Search Chat is brought to you by Solo Segment. Solo Segment is a technology company focused on site search analytics and AI-driven content discovery to improve search results, increase customer satisfaction, and unlock revenue for your company. Solo Segment, make your search smarter, and learn more at solosegment.com. If you like what you've heard today, click on the subscribe links you can find at solosegment.com/podcast, on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts can be found. You can also find us on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/company/solosegment, on Facebook at facebook.com/solosegment, on Twitter using the Twitter handle @solosegment, or you can drop us an email at info@solosegment.com. Again, that's info@solosegment.com. For Search Chat, I'm Tim Peter. I hope you have a great rest of the week. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll look forward to chatting with you next time here on Search Chat. Until then, take care, everybody.